Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
I am Turok!
I knew it was going to be bad, right? But I thought it would be funny bad.
Hi, I'm Cameron James from the movie podcast Total Reboot.
But it wasn't. It was a sign of the collapsing civilization around us.
Welcome to my latest freaking obsession.
I think Cats is about...
Let's use a whole bunch of cats.
Who all hang out together called Jellicles.
About the Jellicle universe.
They're a gang.
Who get together in an alleyway.
It's about cats.
I couldn't tell you the plot.
To, like, sing their songs with each other.
They do a little dance.
Oh, God.
For the chance to die.
That's the whole deal.
Why does it exist?
That's what we're trying to... Out.
Join me and my good friend Ben Elwood
on this Jellicle journey.
Why is Cats coming soon to the Sans Pants Radio Network?
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're going to be looking at Animal Crossing's New Horizons and other games. That was the name of the thing. Yeah,
that's what it's called. And we've nailed the intro.
Yeah,
this is the first ever Thumb Cramps recorded under house arrest.
Yeah, babe.
The Thumb Cramps
all
boys
three of us
in jail.
It's true. For crimes against gaming.
Yeah,
and we've been forced to record in separate houses.
Gamed too hard. The cops got us.
We all gamed wrong, but individually it was a different kind of wrong. So.
That's not how you play Halo, Mr. Bailey. You're going away for a long time to your house.
Presumably where you currently are playing Halo wrong.
Got him. Loopholed the cops again.
We're good at that. Yeah. We're mischievous. Mm. They call us the Greasy Thumb Cramps Boys. Cannot be caught. Right, so Animal Crossing. Joel Zammert, you, one of us had to play it and you volunteered.
Yes. I've never played an Animal Crossing in my life. I've never known what an Animal Crossing is. I only recently learned what a Tom Nook was, apart from some of the memes and everyone calling him a slum lord, big piece of shit.
I've heard him called a fascist.
Yeah.
I've heard him called the 1%.
I've heard him defended as well by people who take his side.
And I'm here to start the hashtag, not knowing anything about him, but if you could join in, hashtag hang Tom Nook.
Just to point out... Like, we are all recording from our homes. I'm the only one in my dressing gown, which is really funny to notice.
I'm wearing clothes that I was wearing yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I'm wearing tracksuit.
Thank goodness. Okay, just wanted to double check.
Joel Zammert is dressed like we're at his
house. He may not have pants on. We don't know.
No, I do. I've gone the opposite route, because usually I'd be recording in a dressing gown, but I figured to kind of like have some semblance, because my partner is also working from home, to kind of be like, look, let's try and do this. I'll get dressed. I ironed my shirt.
That's true. Yes.
So I have a sense of...
And that shirt even looks ironed. It's wild.
Yeah.
I found my shirt on the floor when I got out of bed.
I deodorized this morning, which is shocking. For who? who am I trying to impress?
So hopefully for your self-worth. Yeah.
So I picked up Animal Crossing because, I was like, well, maybe this is for me. This is a big game. People seem to like it and talk about it. And also, like, I guess everyone in the world is either picking up this or Doom, and I don't really care for a first-person shooter. So I was like, I'll take Animal Crossing.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I was playing this for about a day, and I was like, Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm done with this. Maybe this is not a game for me. Maybe I kind of hate this game. I actually don't know what the hell I'm doing with this game. What's the point of this game? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I don't understand what I'm doing. What's going on? I kind of was like, maybe I'm done with it. Maybe like I've played it for like a day. But I'm like, it seems like it's a slow game. So I'm like, I'll give it another day.
Sure.
So then I'm just like, I don't know if I'm enjoying this or not. I was like, I think this is not
Jackson,
for me.
This sounds like a man who is about to do a big backflip.
Yes. So second day came around. I'm like, still like humming and hiring. And then I was like, hey, you know, my partner, you know, she likes Stardew Valley. I'm like, it's kind of similar to Stardew Valley. I don't know if it's...
A game you famously hate,
obviously.
Yeah,
so sure. I was like, you know... Yeah, yeah.
Despised by Joel Valley. Yeah. Oh,
spit on that valley as much as I can. Take that valley.
Good.
So I was like, still humming and hawing. I don't know. Then, like, you know, handed her the cartridge. And then, like, you know, she was enjoying it. And then I started watching some, videos on like, you know, like Kotaku, ING being like, hey, here are some tips about, you know, your first day playing Animal Crossing. Or here are some tips that doesn't tell you what you're doing.
Like, on the island.
And so I watched that. I'm like, oh, I'm just stupid. Okay.
So you'd just be playing it like an idiot. That was the problem.
The Jackson Bailey
Jackson Bailey. Yeah. There's a reason I'm in house arrest. So I started watching these, and there was like some tips and tricks which made things a lot easier. Like, let's take, for example, you can eat fruit, and that makes you do like a strength thing, right? So it's like if you're full or you've had some food, and then you smack a rock, you'll destroy that rock. Now, you need iron from rocks and stuff, right? And at one point, I needed 30 to build a shop. And so I'm like, I don't understand how I can get to 30 because I go to a rock, I destroy it, and it either has a bit of stone, a bit of clay, or maybe sometimes iron. This is going to be an insanely long time for me to get this. And then watching these videos, they were like, oh, so what you do is you kind of dig two holes behind you, and then you smack it 8 times, and you get 8 things. And I'm like, oh, it's like, make sure you don't eat food because you will destroy the. So then
could you answer a question that I've had about this game? Because I saw a tweet about it and I don't know if it's true.
Sure.
Is it true you can shit in it?
I have yet to, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, like you build a little toilet and you can do a little shit to get rid of your strength because you've eaten apples to get strong.
That rules, if that's the case.
Hang on.
I'm excited to build a toilet.
I've seen one tweet about it. Yep. I wanted to check if it was true.
If it is, I'm not at that yet. Because, again, you know, I'm bad at this video game, apparently. I handed the cartridge to my partner, and then I started looking at him like, maybe I want to keep playing. So we bought her a copy.
great.
As well. Good. And so... I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. Like, it's very slow. I think it does work in real time. So if it's like 8 a.m., you know, where you are, it's 8 a.m. in the island, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
And it's like initially it was like, you know, you build something, like you build a shop or you're building a house for another animal to come to your island or whatever, and you're like, I got to wait a day. But now I'm like, nah, it's cool. Like... I built the museum. There's a shop coming. It's coming tomorrow. I can just chill out here and do some other things. And I can just, you know, I'm just here vibing, grabbing some butterflies with my net.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time. And like looking into it a bit more, it's like, yeah, it's kind of very slow, you know, to start you off with. And then, you know, towards the end, you can then start, you know, decorating and remodeling your island to what you want it to be. And it's just, it's very chill. It's very nice. The soundtrack is nice.
Is it scratching your Stardew Valley itch?
Ah, 100%. Like, Stardew Valley was...
Breaking news! Shut up for a second! Yes. You can shit in Animal Crossing!
Yay!
Yes!
That is such good news.
That is the best news, dude. Oh my god, that...
That joins the pantheon of games that let you shit, which, as far as I know, is only Animal Crossing, New Horizon, and possibly... What's that game where you can piss on people?
Death
Stranding.
No, Death Stranding counts. No, that's not the one I'm thinking of. It's an old game. You piss
off. Oh, Postal?
Postal 2, yeah. There you go.
It's worrying that I knew both the pissing and shitting games you were talking about.
Well, look,
that's the second time someone's referenced Postal 2 to me, and I've understood the reference straight away, which now makes me feel like I'm on a list.
Probably.
That's not a game you want to recognize.
Well, yeah, but look, the fact that you can shit in this game might have just upped this to a perfect score, just saying.
Oh, yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, but yeah, it is
apparently, when you poop in the toilet, you can't see anything.
Nah.
But pooping expels fruit, which may help you get special items.
Could you explain what that means?
That makes me think you can eat your own shit.
Or like a certain number of shits results in like a golden shit or something.
Well, a gem maybe? It's kind of like, you know, you eat fruit and you can have like 10, and then you can do like a feat of strength. Like you break a rock, you can pick up a whole tree.
Okay.
Like
in real life, you eat a sandwich, you can flip a car.
Eat a sandwich. Yeah, but it is sort of like scratching that Stardew itch. Like Stardew was really easy to, if you stop playing it for like a little bit, it's very easy to be like, that's fine, I'll leave it there and don't worry about it. But I'm looking forward to, you know, getting a lot of like neighbors that are coming in. I'm looking forward to maybe finding a favorite neighbor. I met a bird woman at one of the deserted islands that I went to, and I'm pretty sure it's heavily implied that we're going to bang at some point.
All right.
I don't know. But I'm excited to find out if that's the case. I've already built a double bed just in case this happens.
With the intention of wooing them. So, what kind of bird? This will dictate whether I approve or not.
I think it might be like a seabird.
Like a pelican?
I think from memory. No, not a pelican. But like if I get a pelican bird, you'll be the first
I'd like to know about that. That's true.
But there's like a lot of different things you can kind of do. The game loop is pretty simple. It's kind of like you've got like, I guess, two forms of currency. You've got miles and then you've got like your bells, which are your coins. And miles are kind of like frequent flyer miles. And you do a bunch of stuff and you get frequent flyer miles, which means you can do other things kind of thing like that.
Look.
You can sell anything you get. You can get bells for that. And it's kind of like, you know, you get bells to buy upgrades for your house. You're constantly in debt to that Tom Nook.
Yeah.
Hang Tom Nook.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. He doesn't tell you that you're in debt. Until you are in debt, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's cheeky.
Kind of like...
like all good banks.
It was predatory. Yeah. I ain't got no time for it.
It was pretty predatory for the first two times. Like the first two times, you arrive on the island, he's like, here's your ticket, it's good. He's like, it gives you your tickets there, it's all inclusive, it's great. And then you're like, cool, cool, cool. He's like, cool, 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 cool. So how are you going to pay me back for that ticket? And I was like, but I thought it was all in. He's like, well, it's going to cost
but
you some,
Thomas Nook,
some money.
Like,
but Thomas Nook, I have Nookums, no bells. And then he's like, well, you can pay that off with some miles. I'm like, okay, cool. So I did that. And then I'm like, all right, cool. He's like, all right, cool, we got a house. I'm like, I got a house. He's like, yeah, that's going to be like, I think it was like 98,000 bells. And I'm like, Mr. Nook,
at this point in time, how many bells did you have?
Not 98,000.
No, I imagine. Wait, are we
but
talking
then when
10?
I paid, like about a good, maybe, I want to say about 200.
Okay,
I
200.
Say.
That's quite
lower than 98,000 bells.
Again, I'm not very good at this game. I'm sure if you were good, you might have already had the
Does
money.
Tom Nook come and get you if you don't pay him off? Like can you freeload off Tom Nook's debt?
Is he like a crooked cop? Does he come and kill you?
Well, there's no interest on this debt of mine.
Okay.
And I've heard, I think in previous games, he kind of like is there in your house being like, where's my money? But in this one, see, he's not been that threatening to me.
Okay.
So he's been kind of nice. And then by the third time I got to upgrade my house, he actually asked me this time, which was nice.
That's good.
If I wanted to be in said debt. So yeah, it's pretty good. The artwork is really nice, as I said. Actually, the gameplay the artwork is quite nice. Also, you are collecting like bugs and fish, and there's like a encyclopedia type thing, like Critopedia it's called.
Yeah.
And the artwork on that is really, really good. Like, really nice. So if you want to look at like pretty fishes and
I always do.
And once you open the museum, and like, I'm a man who could not give two shits about museums in real life.
Yeah, you hate them,
but
famously.
I do. Yeah. So if I go into the museum, it's really quite nice.
Breathtaking?
I like going into
Say
the museum.
It. Breathtaking.
Just, yeah, it was breathtaking. It really made me feel like I was in an aquarium.
I thought he was going to be too scared to say it, but he's gone and said it. I'm all out of jokes now.
I'm all out of jokes. He said it. Son of a bitch went and did it.
He's my God.
That's it. Pack it in. It infuriates me that you'll go to a virtual museum, but not a real one.
Well, it's not a virtual museum. It's an aquarium. So it's called a museum, okay. But there's like an aquarium and there's like the bug zone. So you can kind of just see butterflies. And then there is the paleontology bit where you can go and like check out fossils. And that's the one I visit the least because museums are boring as shit. But an aquarium and the bug zone, that's what I'm all about.
Fair. That's fair.
I'm a big fan of like aquariums, so I'm like, yeah. Also, like any bug or fish you get, you can just plonk down anywhere in your house or just the island, and you can kind of have that there. So in my house, I have a shark and a stingray.
That's great.
That's good. That's I can't think of a better place to keep both of those things.
You can kind of create assets for like other players. Yeah, that's a thing you can do.
Maybe. Look, again, I'm bad at this game and I'm not that far in. So
I was right about the shitting, so I'm going to assume I'm right about this.
You were.
Well, Jackson, I've seen a screenshot.
The other day I got a ladder and I was pretty happy with that.
That's good.
Yeah. Jackson, I've seen a screenshot of someone who was like, oh, I'm displaying my favorite album covers. And it was kind of like in the Animal Crossing house. It was like a screenshot they'd taken on the Switch of like actual real life album covers that would not be in the game. So presumably you're right.
And I think I've seen somebody who's made like rocks that you can put on your path and stuff. So, and someone who made eyebrows. So I think you can create your own stuff. I don't know how, but I think you can.
Yeah, no, me neither.
It's funny that this is the thumb cramps boys guess what's in Animal Crossing.
Basically, like, there's a lot of stuff there, and the game doesn't really hold your hand at all, which I guess is kind of nice. But yeah, I highly recommend if you're on the fence about getting Animal Crossing because you're like, what's all the fuss about? I don't know. And watch some of these just like basic tips and like, you know, things that you should know before going in, or like your day one on the island, what to do kind of thing, because there's stuff that does happen every day and like will kind of respawn every day, as it were, like the rocks, for example. Like I really screwed the pooch there by breaking every rock on my island, and then people being like, oh, if you break them, it'll take like a couple days in real time to respawn on your island. So I was like, ah, good, yeah, cook that, didn't I? That's great. And then I got invited to Cass's island because we've been playing that. And so I destroyed all of her rocks looking for iron. Ruled.
Oh, that is good.
Hey, you're a bad friend in Animal Crossing.
Sure am. Because at this point, we were just like discussing it, and Cass was at the same position as I am. In fact, she was like probably more hating the game. She's like, I'm angry at this. I got to know. And I'm like, well, she ain't going to use these rocks. Chances are she's going to forget about
them. That's true.
So I sneakily broke them without her knowing. Stole her fossils. She doesn't know about any of this yet.
That's good.
So no one tell her.
Your secret's safe with us, my friend.
Yeah. The three housebound thumb cramp boys cannot get up to any more mischief under court orders.
So all in all, it's a really good game. Yeah. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I'm going to keep playing it. It's a very easy game to just play for a couple hours.
Oh, yeah.
As well, because there is like a thing that'll happen, you know, again, like the things will respawn every day, and there is like those things you can kind of just like, oh, yeah, cool, I'll just do this. And it's a very simple, very, very nice game. It's kind of peaceful, especially in these times when we're all under house arrest and playing games.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
It does like kill the time, I guess, and it provides a very, very nice distraction. Like in this game, I can get on a plane.
Yeah.
That's the sentence, which is real nice, you know?
Yeah. When in real life, if you get on a plane, the cops will tackle you at the other end.
Yeah. I can go outside. I can interact with people, which is, again, something I guess I'm lacking in real life. So it's just real nice to have that.
How many thumbs?
So, yeah, all in all, like, I'd say it's like, honestly, it'd be like a 5-thumber for me, but the fact that you can also take a good shit.
Oh, it's incredible. Four. That's so good.
Got to be at least a sneaky 6-thumber, you know?
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that because, frankly, this game sounds stupid as hell.
No, it is. But boy, am I having a good time. Jackson, never play this game.
I want
you will
to.
Hate it.
The moment I saw it, I threw up on my Switch and had to throw it out.
So yeah, this game ain't for you, Jack. Maybe you might enjoy it, JD, but like honestly, definitely not for you, Jack. This is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that would have made this extra not for you if it was also anime.
All I gotta, the only interaction I can have with Animal Crossing New Horizons or whatever it's called is you can give me your Switch and I'll take a shit for you, and then I'll have gotten everything I could have ever wanted out of the game done in roughly 5 minutes, and I can not think about it ever again.
Jackson's honest.
When I get a shitter, I'll be like, hey Jack, here's my Switch. If we can still be in the same room,
yeah.
Otherwise, we'll do a screen share or whatever, and you can watch.
Hey Jack,
me
I got a shit like, in me. Do you want to take care of it? Good. Yes. Go to the toilet, shit out the apples, maybe get a prize. Apparently,
who Jackson's knows? On a quest to take a shit in every video game that it's possible to shit in.
It kind of is my dream. It's exciting.
I think you can shit in Digimon as well, like the PS1 game.
I remember playing a game when I was like maybe 20. It was on an emulator. It was for the Game Boy Advance. And it was, I don't know why I got it. It was some terrible like Final Fantasy ass anime RPG thing. And it was something about dragons. And we went into a cave and the dragon gave the main character a gem or whatever to help with his quest. And then we left, but the camera stayed on the dragon, who looked at the camera and said, "Ha ha, he doesn't know it is my shit." And
hell yes,
I don't know what game that was, but it stuck with me ever since.
Yeah, that's a memorable moment. And with that incredible segue, here's a word from our sponsors, if we're still getting those. Wow, these are confusing times.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for that, sponsors. Maybe.
All right, what have you guys been playing?
Well, I recently saw on the Switch store a little game from 2010 called Bulletstorm, which I remember a former friend of mine had and quite enjoyed, and I was looking for like a first-person shooter to just kill some time, so I was like, yeah, why not? And I kind of remembered that it was one of these games in like the 2010s that was like, it's about maneuverability, it's about being able to do lots of different things, you know, in combat, it's interesting. So I was like, that kind of sounds fun. Then I launched it up and I saw that I had just like the basic game as an option, but I also had something called Duke Nukem World Tour. I'm doing that.
Obviously.
I've been playing Bulletstorm as Duke Nukem, having never played Bulletstorm. So
Have you played Duke Nukem?
Yeah, I've played some Duke Nukems. So the way it works is that clearly they've just put in Duke Nukem to the main characters, like in the main character's position in the story, and they've recorded lines of dialogue from Duke Nukem that makes sense with the dialogue of everyone else, but none of the other dialogue has changed. And Duke Nukem just seems really confused to be there. He keeps calling everyone cocksucker. He's deeply problematic. It's just so wild to play through. Somebody will be like, oh man, that space bounty hunter is really going to get us. And Duke Nukem will be like, what's going on? I don't understand, cocksucker. And then you just got to play the game. In a way, I think I prefer it because I don't think that the main game would be much different. It's got that like weird 2010, like hyper aggressive, like
masculine.
Oh yeah,
everyone's got the biggest balls in the world.
It is ridiculous.
And they're so full of cum, Jackson. Let me tell you that. They are the cummiest balls.
They couldn't say it because it was 2010, but there should be a little cum meter next to my health and my ammo just to show me how virulent I am. How potent.
It's always at 200%.
Yeah, I was going to say, Duke Nukem never dropped below 200%.
Duke Nukem, there's a flashback at one point, and Duke Nukem just keeps talking about how he doesn't know why he's here. Just makes any combat really strange, because Duke Nukem's like, I don't know what's going on, and then you mow down a bunch of bandits. It kind of feels like you're playing like Duke Nukem has Alzheimer's and has found himself in space.
Oh no, that's sad.
It's so weird. But Duke Nukem slots right into the Bulletstorm universe very smoothly.
Okay.
Other than that, it's just like a basic first-person shooter. It has a combo meter, so you can do combos, but those mostly are... So you get a weird like whip thing at one point pretty early in the game where you can whip onto someone and pull them close to you. And when you pull them close to you, they like freeze in the air. And you can do stuff to them, or you can kick them. That's good. It's got a kick mechanic. And if you
reminisce,
does everyone have
Scorpion
a kick mechanic, or is it just Duke Nukem having a kick mechanic?
No, I think there's a kick mechanic in the game because you can kick someone and then shoot them, and you get like a bullet kick, 100 points or whatever.
Okay,
and then you.
I remember that was a function of one of the Duke Nukems. So you of kicking.
Well, maybe that's where it comes. I think. It's almost a love letter to Duke Nukem, you know, in this game.
Does it really make you feel like you're playing Duke Nukem?
Yeah, you really feel like you're playing... You feel like Duke Nukem. You feel like you're like, I am very muscular and not very clever, and I have been raised poorly. I've been raised to not respect my fellow man. That's how I feel.
Yeah, do people still like Duke Nukem? And say, is that a cultural touchstone, a beloved icon
Duke Nukem
next to your Sonics and your Marios and your Earthworm Jims?
Duke Nukem came out with Duke Nukem Forever and everyone was like, oh, wow, no, we hate Duke Nukem now. And then later, Bulletstorm was like, but what if you love Duke Nukem now? And
so well, did you say Bulletstorm was 2010?
Yeah.
Because Bulletstorm may have come out in promotion for Duke Nukem Forever, which is probably how Duke Nukem World Tour happened.
I think they're deeply connected in their DNA.
That rules. I really hope that this was like one of the few... Like world tours that had been planned for Duke Nukem. Everyone was like, everyone loved. Kids love a Duke Nukem. You put Duke Nukem in any game, kids are going to snap that up left, right, and center. And I hope that there was like this big deal with a bunch of other games. Like Duke Nukem was going to appear in the next Tony Hawk, for example.
Man.
But then everyone was like, oh, wait, no. Everyone hates Duke Nukem. Pull the plug, pull the plug, pull
the
plug.
But Bulletstorm was like, no, the people love Duke.
No.
Actually, I was looking it up because I was also curious as to what Duke Nukem was doing in Bulletstorm. And apparently it had started off as a skin, and then they were like, what if we did like a whole like dialogue for him? And then someone was like, what if we made the entire game, but you could play as Duke Nukem? And so that's what he's doing in there.
What's the voice actor doing? Nothing? Oh, get him in.
He's got to be bored.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you, listeners. There was a bit of a technical fault there. And in that time, I was able to look up what we were talking about. Bulletstorm came out 6 months before Duke Nukem Forever. So it was definitely a tie-in to promote Duke Nukem Forever.
That's so funny. No, but look up when Duke Nukem's World Tour was added to Bulletstorm, because I think it was after that. I think it was added for like a re-release or something, because I'm playing it on the Switch, which I'm surprisingly is okay. Like, first-person shooters on the Switch are weird, but this is not too bad. I like kicking people. Okay. I like kicking people off the edge of buildings and off the edge of like walkways and getting the vertigo bonus or whatever. That's pretty fun. I've encountered some levels that are like on-rails shooters that are just... hell, like one, you're on a train and a big wheel's following you and you have to attack everyone with a minigun. This is a controversial statement. I don't like minigun sections in video games. They're not fun. It's
they
just like...
they get a bit boring.
Yeah. Shoot really well for a bit, but you're probably not going to die. But if you do die, it's because you couldn't get out of the way. Enjoy. I'm not into it. So that was very frustrating. Nearly made me stop playing, but I continued.
So Duke Nukem World Tour appears to have been added in 2017 when they re-released the game for PS4.
That rules. They were like, people have forgotten Duke Nukem forever. They can't remember. People just love him now.
People loved Duke Nukem. It was the game they hated. But they loved the icon of Duke Nukem.
Put him in. He wears a muscle tee. He does not look cool. He's so aggressive.
Have they aged Duke Nukem? Has he been aged in real time? So it was just kind of like...
No, but it seems like somehow they've still aged his eyes. Like, anytime he's in a cutscene, Duke Nukem looks like, you know, old, you can tell that the years have not been kind to him. Yeah, absolutely. But it's pretty great. I'm enjoying Bulletstorm. Like, it's kind of like a fun sort of first-person shooter. I think it's going to get more interesting as I get more weapons. It seems like the kind of game, because it's designed for that, like, kind of like you're building up a combo, I don't know, sort of combat that it's going to give me interesting weapons. Already, I have a thing where I can switch my main gun to big boy mode or whatever. And that's like an instant kill that just turns someone into a skeleton but uses up all of my bullets. So that's kind of a fun mechanic.
That's pretty good.
I hate all the characters in it. And we've just come across the first female character and I just don't think it's going to go well.
Okay, so you know,
she's not going to be treated with respect.
If 100% is like... fully clothed, what percentage are we talking about for her outfit?
I think she's gonna have like cargo pants on, but basically no.
Yeah.
Maybe just band-aids.
Actually, it is a pretty common first person shooter thing to have a female character wearing cargo shorts and then like a boob tube, even though no one wears them anymore. I'm happy to make that call.
I sort of suspect that's what I'm in for. And she'll have like a big weapon. I think just based on the game, she's going to be characterized as one of the boys, and it's going to be awful to participate in.
Will she have a big weapon, and there'll be a lot of remarks about how she can handle something so big?
Yes.
And like a lot of cock euphemisms.
And also like weird, like there'll be like dialogue where it's clear that she's trying to emasculate friendlily, but she's trying to emasculate the protagonist. Mm. But the protagonist is Duke Nukem, so like it's just gonna go very.
He just can't. He's immune for disaster.
But it's fun enough. Look, ultimately, I'd probably give this something like maybe I don't know three thumbs and a knuck. I'm having a good time with it. It's problematic, but like it's still up. The gameplay is pretty good.
Art ages.
I gotta separate the art from the artist. I gotta separate Duke Nukem from... Well, I've gotta separate the game from Duke Nukem, I guess. Weird that I just called Duke Nukem the artist. Duke Nukem made Bulletstorm. That's my claim here.
Here at Thumb Cramps, we're happy to make that claim.
Absolutely.
One-man game development team.
So impressive.
Wow.
Well done, Duke. That's truly, you know, a tale of creativity.
There's a reason they call him a Duke.
Absolutely. The Duke himself.
How did he find time between shooting all those cops that are actual pigs that are actually aliens from space, I think?
And saving hot babes covered in goo, I think, possibly.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe kicking strippers. I don't know.
Yeah, it really
See
makes
you around, cocksucker. Play my game, cocksucker. I'm Duke Nukem. That's how he sounds.
Yeah. He's pretty much Johnny Bravo, but not funny.
He's Johnny Bravo if he didn't have a loving mother. That's what Duke Nukem is.
Whoa, mama!
Okay, JD, what have you been playing?
So, as you mentioned at the top of the episode, this week there was two massive game releases on the same day. We had Animal Crossing and Doom Eternal.
Yeah.
Doom Eternal is the game I chose to pick up, but this week I've been playing the entire Doom trilogy, which is Doom, the 2016 reboot. That Doom feeling you get when you get fired from your job due to coronavirus and Doom Eternal.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, okay,
cool,
okay.
Dude.
So obviously,
good trilogy. Tight.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
so
tight.
Obviously playing three games in 1 week means that unfortunately the Doom from losing your job happened just before Doom Eternal came out. Yeah. So I haven't had enough time to confidently review Doom Eternal. Okay. So I'll focus mostly on the first two, and then I'll give my first impressions of Doom Eternal.
Great.
And then next week, I'll play it. Yeah. I don't have a lot on my plate at the moment. So I got plenty of time to play Doom Eternal.
I know. Absolutely. We're all on the house arrest.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
man, you got playing video games so bad you got fired.
From an unrelated job.
Yeah.
Wow. Unrelated
job was like, wow. He was playing. I don't know where he had the controller, but it wasn't.
We heard
good.
How you play Tetris, buddy, and we don't want a person like that working for us, okay?
Yeah. So I picked up Doom 2016 when it originally came out on the PS4. I played the hell out of it. I never finished it, though. And I really liked it. It's just one of those games that, because I'm pretty sure I've probably explained my living situation to our audience before, but basically, I live in a share house. There's only one living space, which is fine, but Doom is not the type of game that I would just sit down and comfortably play while my housemates are trying to watch TV or something, because I'm having a good time, but it's not that appealing unless you love Doom.
Yeah, yeah. A bit chaotic to watch. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. So when it got ported to the Switch, I heard that the Switch port was significantly worse, but I was like, you know what? It's cheap. I really, really like Doom. The portability will help. I might as well try it out. So I've mostly been playing for the last couple of weeks, the very on and off. Again, I haven't finished it, but I've been playing it on Switch, and I can confirm that it is worse than the PS4 version, but it still runs pretty well. Some of the backgrounds and stuff like that are smoothed out. The controls don't feel quite as good, just because a first-person shooter with a Switch controller just feels a bit off.
Yeah, fair.
But, it's still... still fun. Still the same goddamn game. You're still killing demons and it's still dumb as hell. And then been playing that, getting excited for Doom Eternal. But I didn't realize that it was a Doom trilogy because I thought it was just Doom.
Doom Eternal.
Doom Eternal.
Yeah, as I guess.
But no, apparently there's a global crisis that gives you a Doom feeling because you lose your job that happens just before. Bit of a prequel to Doom, Doom Eternal, in fact.
It's a sneaky little pre-DLC, if you will.
So, I'd been playing Doom and been, dying a lot in Doom 2016. But then, surprise Doom, which was getting an email from my work being like, hey, we don't know what's happening now. Stay tuned. We'll get in contact with you in 2 or 3 days. But for these next couple of days, just come to your shifts. Then another email that was like, as of 12 p.m. Monday, do not come in for your shifts for the next 8 weeks. But indefinitely, we're closed. We're not sure about how anything's gonna go. I know a lot of you have leave entitlements. Unfortunately, we're not sure what's happening there because the business is
good. That's what you want to hear.
That's such good news.
You've been working a long time. You're entitled to these things that you've earned,
but you might not be. Don't worry about that.
It's not at the time of recording. That part hasn't been finalized, which is it's great for them to say you don't have a job. We're looking into your leave. We'll let you know in a couple of days. Look, I know it's probably going to be fine because it's a big company, but also they've left the door open for it not to be fine.
Absolutely. They've covered their ass.
So that Doom, not as good as the 2016 one. I would probably say worse than the Doom 2016 Switch version.
Wow.
Even though in that one, again, the soundtrack is a little flatter. And
But in its defense, right?
Yeah.
So the objective of say Doom 2016 is for you to enjoy a really good first person shooter.
Yeah,
right?
it's a quick paced action game
experience
where you've got to save Amun of Mars from the demons from hell, and then to go into hell and seal the portal.
Yeah.
Yes, great. That's the plot.
Yeah. So the intention of that Doom you feel when you get. You get fired, basically, or that uncertainty. So, what was the intention?
Yeah.
Trying to make you feel like you were losing your job?
I definitely did feel like I was losing my job. I would say, in fact, that unfortunately, whilst I didn't finish Doom 2016, I did definitely finish this. and the ending, it's in the title. You just lose your job and you feel bad.
That doesn't feel like a win, really, does it? That doesn't feel like a victory.
Was that the intention of that particular game?
I think the intention is to get me to stay in my house because apparently outside currently is dangerous and no one should be interacting.
Sure.
I think the intention was also to make sure that the company itself doesn't go under, and the best way to stop that is to cut, like, just,
completely,
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then, anyway, so I played the first 10 minutes of Doom Eternal, and it feels a bit different from Doom 2016.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, like, it's a little bit more, even though the Doom 2016 is very cartoony, it seems to be, like, more cartoony, which is, again, a refreshing break from the harsh realities of the Doom of losing your job.
Yeah.
So it's been a really odd series of games.
Totally shifting quite a bit.
It's like cartoony.
Cartoony,
real
very real
life.
Yeah.
Cartoony
More cartoony.
I see. I think, like, from what I can read and hear online, a lot of people might have actually missed the Doom 2016 and maybe are even skipping this Doom Eternal, and they're just playing the middle in this trilogy.
It's looks kind of like a lot of people.
Do you remember when a U2 automatically downloaded an album onto everyone's iTunes?
Yeah.
It's similar to that. Everyone's being forced to play this game. Nobody wants to.
And real look, as someone who has played it, it's an interesting one. Look, it feels bad, but I look, as someone who has finished it, I have got great news. Doom Eternal, first of all, is fun. So the third one is better. But also, just if you don't play the third one, things are still going to be okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Things feel feel very bad now, but things will be okay.
Things are going
to
be bad.
Do you have any advice for anyone who might want to speed rush? This the speed run the second game?
Look, if you can skip the second game, I'd highly recommend it. But if you can't skip the second game, look, we're in a weird influx at the moment, and it does feel weird to put, like, eggs in any kind of government's basket, considering the world of affairs at the moment. But as a lot of people have pointed out, and I will not be the first person to say this, if everyone is up shit creek, then, like, they kind of just have to do something, because otherwise there's no people to govern. Like, if everyone can't pay rent, then... Yeah.
Something's got to be
done. Well, okay, yeah, okay, you evict everyone. That and then no one can pay their mortgage because they're not getting the rent payments. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So then they go into... So, like, either... Yeah, look, it's going to be okay because it's going to have to be okay.
But you would say,
take it day by day.
You can play Doom Eternal and skip this. Like, you don't need to have played the second one.
No. The second one, if anything, it's more a side story. Yeah. It doesn't really affect Doom Eternal.
So, like, don't be playing Doom Eternal and being like, am I getting the full experience?
You absolutely are. In fact, the ending of Doom 2016 connects straight to the start of Doom Eternal. And I found that out because I started playing Doom Eternal. I was like, what is going on? Because I had not finished the first one.
Do you get a heaven in Doom Eternal?
I have heard that, and I'm very excited. In fact, after we stop recording, I'm going to walk downstairs out of my new lovely studio, which is my bedroom, and turn on Doom Eternal, because I believe that the TV is not currently in use. And I'll let you know, like, next week when I give you a more full review of Doom Eternal.
So for those of us who maybe don't like, say, a first-person shooter, would you recommend it, or is it still much like, look, if you don't like a first-person shooter, probably don't worry about it.
If you don't like a first-person shooter, don't worry about it, but if, like Jackson, you miss when games were good, Doom is so reminiscent of 90s and early 2000s first-person shooters, because there's no cover base, if you stop moving, you'll die, all the demons are just like, it's like crazy violent. You run out of health, and, like, this, your health doesn't regenerate. There's health packs on the floor. There's ammo packs on the floor. You run out of health and ammo constantly, but you're constantly cycling through weapons, so it doesn't matter.
That sounds very exciting.
Yeah, if you do enough damage to a creature, but it doesn't die, it glows a different color. And if you melee attack it, it does a glory kill, which then makes it explode into ammo. But there's a very violent animation beforehand. The glory kills in Doom Eternal are way funnier and, like, crazier. Because in the first one, they're mostly just gory.
Yeah.
But in Doom Eternal, they kind of lean a little bit like Mortal Kombat-y, how, like, some of it's a bit goofy. So one of the glory kills, in instance, for the first Doom is, like, you kind of, like, shove your gun into them and pull up, and they, like, split in half and explode. But in Doom Eternal, there's one where if you run up front onto a certain demon, you punch their head and their neck goes into their body, so their head drops down into, like, their chest, and they kind of, like, wobble back and then burst, and I'm like...
That's good.
But, yeah.
That is good.
It's, you've also got to remember that the soundtrack for these games, it's not like a constant soundtrack. There'll be like quiet parts, and then all of a sudden you just get the soaring metal guitar solo, and then every kick drum in the world comes in. It's the most, for a game that has come out in 2020, it is the most 1998 game in the world.
That's so appealing.
Okay, okay. Do you ever watch that heavy metal, film that was sort of prevalent in like the 80s,
90s? It's very tit-heavy, yes.
Yeah.
I've heard of it. I've not seen
I'm
it.
I'm just wondering, yeah, as someone who has seen it, I'm wondering, like, on the scale of that, like, how much is it leaning towards
So I haven't seen
metal.
This film, but unfortunately, okay. Doom does not seem to be tit-heavy at all. I believe if you're looking for a tit-heavy first-person shooter that is reminiscent of the olden days, you might want to check out the game that Jackson played this week.
Bulletstorm.
Bulletstorm.
Imagine I just launched back into my review. Just volleyed reviews back and forth.
So, I'll give Doom 2016 on the Nintendo Switch. That's probably like 3.5 thumbs to 4 thumbs. Worth playing if you've got a Switch because the price of it is now like dropping significantly. Like you can pick it up in the Australian store for... When it's on sale, it drops down to like as low as like $30 Australian, which is worth it. I mean, you can also definitely get it cheaper on other consoles. But like, if you've got a Switch, it's worth playing. It's definitely one of the better first-person shooters I've played on the Switch. But also, if you want the best first-person shooter on the Switch, we've reviewed Turok 2 Seeds of Evil multiple times.
Absolutely.
I would say that runs better on the Switch than Doom 2016. So if you're looking for the first-person experience, probably get Turok 2. Mm-hmm. The Doom feeling you get when you find out you're losing your job.
Yeah.
Skip it if you can. But if you have to play it, similar to how I did, it's probably a one-thumb experience.
Okay.
But try not to dwell on it too much because, things are definitely going to be okay. And they feel uncertain, and you can probably hear the uncertainty in my voice. But things are going to be okay. The cops can put us in jail for... breaching our house arrest because we played video games wrong, but they can't do it to everyone. Play games as wrong as you want.
Absolutely.
And Doom Eternal, at the moment, I think I prefer the first Doom, like especially like the PS4 version, but in its defense, I've literally only played like the first 15 minutes, but over the course of an hour because Doom Eternal starts much harder than Doom does, and I keep dying.
All right.
But the guns seem crazier, so that's fun. Like, they don't mess around. The game does not give you a pistol in Doom Eternal. You do not start with a pistol, you start with a shotgun.
Oh, that's that is the so first good. Gun. Oh, that's the best. Oh, I love to hear that.
Yeah, so it's the first gun is a shotgun, the second gun is a massive assault rifle.
Oh, hell yeah.
Games used to be good, Jackson, and Doom Eternal remembers. So, all in all, I think that's another 40-thumb episode.
I think that's another... We keep hitting that 40-thumb stride.
That makes sense. Yeah. Wow.
It's crazy.
We don't plan it either. It's just it's when you add up all the happens. Thumbs, it's just an even 40.
Yeah, so we had 4, 3... Four,
yeah,
five,
you just add them. So you're losing your job, Bloodstorm, Duke Nukem, Cocksucker. Yeah, about 40 thumbs.
Yeah, 40 thumbs.
Tom.
Yeah.
Hashtag
Hang Tom Nook.
Hang Tom Nook. Yeah. 40 thumbs.
40 thumbs.
Well, on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joel.
And if you're having a really rough time based on everything that's happened, I'm going through it too, so reach out on Twitter. Like, I'm happy to talk. Because, it does suck.
Sure does.
Yeah, it's no good.
But, things are going to be okay. Thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sanspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.